Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Danny Werfel, Acting Controller of the Office of Federal Financial Management at OMB. Also joining us in our conversation is Deborah Kammer-Hines, Vice President and Practice Leader for IBM's Public Sector Financial Management Practice. Danny, what is the Chief Financial Officer's Council, and what is your role in this council? And if I may, how does the council inform and shape federal financial management policy and procedures?
The Chief Financial Officers Council was created in the Chief Financial Officers Act, which really started this whole process of requiring audited financial statements. The Act itself actually created the position of Chief Financial Officer at each agency. What it also said, the Act, is that a council will be formed, and all the chief financial officers and the deputy chief financial officers from the major agencies will come together and provide a forum where they can discuss common challenges, share knowledge, work on initiatives together. It's really an important process to make sure that we're acting as one government. OMB's role is to chair the council, and we help manage and lead the council activities. And the council activities are as diverse as I just described. We do a lot of best practice. We share common challenges. We get together once a month. We'll talk about what's going on in our agencies, what's going right, what's going wrong. We'll also break into teams and committees, tackle new challenges, new requirements. I like to say that at OMB, in the Office of Federal Financial Management, we don't establish requirements in an office with no window. We make it an open process. So we leverage the Chief Financial Officers Council to help us. We bring the council together and we talk about, okay, what does the roadmap look like? What are our objectives? What does success look like? It's a big question we like to ask ourselves. And once we define success and define where we're going, what's the critical path? What are the steps we need to take? And the council can help us answer questions like what's going to be challenging and expensive for the agencies that's going to force them to take on resources that they might not be prepared to versus what are steps that are easier to do that can leverage existing technologies or solutions they have in their organization. So I can't imagine a world without the council. I think we would end up having requirements that are not appropriately right-sized to what we need to do, have difficulty getting buy-in from the community, and the council plays a critical role in that type of coordination.
Danny, you talked earlier about the need for revisions to the financial reporting model to better address the unique needs of the federal government. More specifically, you discussed the needed revisions with respect to public reporting, internal controls, and decision support. Can you discuss the existing challenges in financial reporting and initiatives underway to address those challenges?
Absolutely. November 15th, an important day. It's the day that all the financial reports are due. We have a very quick turnaround for our financial reports. The fiscal year closes September 30th, and our financial reports due on November 15th, which is 45 days. But November 15th has other meaning. On November 15th, 1990, President George H.W. Bush signed the CFO Act into law. So we're coming up on the 17-year anniversary. And members of the community, both on the audit side and the preparer side, as we like to say, or the chief financial officer side, have begun to express interest in looking at what the next 17 years are going to look like. And there's a variety of different reasons for taking a close look at the Act itself and thinking about what we might want to improve or change going forward. The first reason is that it's been 17 years. And so certainly we are due to take a look at what's going right and what's going wrong. The other big reason to act now and to look at this question is the Defense Department. The Defense Department, which is basically half the government's balance sheet, is getting ready to launch into its major audit readiness and clean audit plan. They're still on the cusp of a lot of activities that are going to take place and a lot of resources that will be expended. Shame on us if we don't look at the examples of the last 17 years, the examples of the other agencies who are out of head, sort of like the lead blocker for the Defense Department. Let's look at the last 17 years and see if we can fix it before DOD or address any improvements that are needed before DOD moves too far down the path. There's a lot of chatter out there in both the public and private sectors about financial reporting. In the private sector, are we bogging down our companies with too many compliance requirements and reducing their competitiveness? And you see similar types of questions being asked with respect to government. We've come together, a small group of thought leaders, to think about these questions, and we've come to the conclusion that we needed to start figuring out, why do we come to work every day? What's financial management all about? And what we came up with was three basic things. Transparency. in the nature of the government's finances, in the sustainability of all the different operations and the cost of operations that are going on, and in the cost effectiveness of government programs. So mission number one, transparency to the public on our finances. Mission number two is internal controls. We're putting in disciplines and rigors to make sure that we're accounting for taxpayer money in a low-risk environment. The process of going through audited financial statements is so challenging, but at the same time, it requires such discipline and rigor that you are dramatically reducing the risk of fraud and error and waste in government. And finally, we've talked about it, decision support. We want financial information to be available to decision makers and leaders to make smarter decisions. We figured out the three things that make us tick and why we come to work. And then we started asking ourselves, well, how are we doing in each area? How are we doing in making our finances transparent to the public? How are we doing on internal controls? Are they aligned well to the financial risks that the government faces? And how are we doing in decision support? Are we identifying those critical business goals and critical financial risks that an agency faces? And are we getting the data that's necessary to manage those risks and achieve those goals? And what we found, which is not surprising, is we have a lot of work to do. We can empower our CFOs better than we have today to develop these data strategies so that they are providing leaders with critical and timely information. We have to figure out what is success look like for more transparency, for better, for a more rational internal control process, and for better decision-making activities. So when you are that stretched and you're losing people to the private sector and to retirement, and you've got these human resources challenges and these resource challenges, to start thinking about the future, moving that CFO beyond compliance to results, and thinking about how we strategically can be more transparent in our reports, it's challenging to find the time and the resources for the federal agencies to get involved and chart that path forward. But it's so fundamentally important that we have to make the time. We are starting that process.
And you raise a good point about being resource constrained on the federal government. I know that the private sector works closely with the federal government to assist in many of these things you've talked about, improving financial systems and processes, conducting financial statement audits, and even performing, in some cases, financial operations. What additional things do you think the private sector can do to better help improve the efficiency and effectiveness of our government's financial management as we go forward?
I think the private sector and the government both have an education gap that we are constantly trying to close, and we need to do a better job in closing it. And what I mean by that is, from the private sector standpoint, there's an education gap in understanding the unique challenges that the government faces, the unique elements of government that mean that some private sector solutions and many private sector solutions can't be automatically applied in the government environment. Very different animals, so to speak. And so it's informing the private sector better on those unique challenges so that they can help apply those technology and other private sector solutions in the government context. And then we have an education gap on the government side. We need to understand better what commercial solutions are out there and how they can help us meet our missions. And I'm not meaning to imply that we don't leverage the private sector daily. We do. But in looking forward, I don't think we could get anything done that we get done today without the many, many different private sector solutions that we leverage. I think the private sector can play an important role in helping us with these data strategies. We have a tremendous amount of data in the federal government, and we've done a lot to try to improve the quality and timeliness of that data. But it's using that data and finding our way through all those data bytes to figure out what trends are developing, what areas are developing. I'll give you an example. In improper payments. As we move forward on improper payments, one of the things that the private sector does better than us is they have models for focusing due diligence and review of their customers to know where they need to take an extra look versus where they can just let something lapse. We want to be spending money on individuals or companies that we know are higher risk for either an error being made or fraud occurring. And I think the private sector can help us share with us how they do that and also share with us the techniques they use with their data to build these types of programs that are more right-sized.
Could you talk a little bit about what is Federal Accounting Standards Advisory Board and FASAB, or Would you elaborate on your ongoing involvement with them and its efforts to identify and remedy critical accounting standards issues?
Yes. FASAB is a very important part of government financial management and accounting. For reasons which escape me, they're always referred to whenever you read about them in the press as the little known board or the, you know, the board that nobody knows about. But they actually play a critically important role. They're an advisory board that was created by OMB, the Department of Treasury, and the Government Accountability Office to help us establish accounting standards for the federal government. It's a board made up of 10 people. I'm one of the members. There are four government members. In addition to OMB, Treasury, GAO, and the Congressional Budget Office, CBO is also a member. And then we have six private members, individuals retired from accounting firms or statistics professors or former state auditor. Those are the type of individuals that we have on the board. And the board works very hard and has done an incredible amount of work in a relatively short period of time to establish comprehensive accounting standards for the federal government. And those accounting standards, importantly, are recognized by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, or AICPA, as being generally accepted accounting principles. The analogy used that it's kind of like certified. It gets like USDA choice beef. David Walker, who's the Comptroller General, talked about the importance of this moniker from the AICPA or this approval. He said, you used to hear before we had this, well, that's government accounting.
Right.
And he says, you don't hear that anymore because government accounting is on the same level as all accounting because the AICPA has provided this generally accepted accounting principles designation and the FASAB process. And right now we're at the point with the board where we do have a very comprehensive set of accounting standards, and now we're looking to hone them.
Now, Danny, by most measures, federal entitlement programs such as Medicare and Social Security are on an unsustainable fiscal path. Now, I only have a minute, but could you tell us how OMB is working with the Treasury Department, the Government Accountability Office, and the Federal Accounting Standards Advisory Board to improve and expand on current social insurance reporting? And how are these efforts going to help alert lawmakers and the public to possible fiscal crises?
The number one priority for FASAB or the Accounting Standards Advisory Board right now, and I'm in complete agreement that this should be our number one priority, is to figure out better ways that we can report on the sustainability of Medicare, Social Security, and the government as a whole. We need to shout it from the rooftops that we are on an unsustainable fiscal path that in the long term is going to create major, major financial crisis for the government and for citizens and for states. And we need to alert everyone that can be alerted, Congress, the public, that this problem exists. And we need good public reporting to explain the nature of the problem, how it gets worse over time, and importantly, give insight into what are some of the triggers or what are some of the things that can be done to help alleviate the problem. And FASAB, working together with OMB, Treasury, and GAO, and the Congressional Budget Office, are looking to develop a sustainability report, a new financial statement that we would hope would be as relevant and, if not more relevant and important than the balance sheet, to say this is what it's all about, the sustainability of government operations from a fiscal standpoint. And the picture that this will paint is a very bleak one in the long term. The short term, you know, we have a declining budget deficit, and a lot of our economic indicators look very good in the short term. But in the long term, due to Medicare, Social Security, and Medicaid, the problem is very significant. It gets worse each year. And so I can't think of a more important thing for FASAB to be doing than to elevating this issue and ensuring that the government is reporting a very clear, transparent view of the problem so that more people will know about it and the right action can be taken.
Certainly a very critical issue. What does the future hold for OMB's Office of Federal Financial Management? We will ask OMB Acting Controller Danny Werfel to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.